Thank you, Sam. I want to thank all my brothers to share their testimony, how God has been good to them, kind of a lead into my message. The only truly good man. Recently, I did a Google word search on the word good. I was kind of surprised it had 2,150,000,000 results. I couldn't believe that. Of course, this is how the world sees good, and I'm sure it's different, the exact opposite of what God calls good many times. In the King James Bible, the word good appears over 650 times. In today's world, many times what is good is called evil. I'm sure we could all think of examples. And what is evil is called good. What do you think, God is surprised by this? Not at all. Not at all. We read in Isaiah 5:20, which was written some 2,700 years ago, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." The word good has many ways you could think of it. It speaks of virtue, righteousness, goodness, morality, integrity. All these terms describe the only good man who ever truly lived, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure you knew that's who I was talking about. He is good because he is God. God is good and he wants what is good, what is best for us. And we heard that earlier in these four men that gave the example of how God led them to salvation and service. If you go to, you don't need to turn there, but in Genesis we see the first time good is used. It's during the creation account. Six times God says, it was good. But then after he created man, he created them male and female. In Genesis 1:31, it says, it was very good. So God truly wants what's best for us. What is good. In Matthew 11:29, the Lord Jesus Christ said, learn of me. And that's my desire this morning, that we all learn a bit more about the Lord Jesus Christ, the only truly good man who ever lived. Turn to James 1:17. James 1:17. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's good and perfect gift given to mankind. We'll be considering our Lord today and his goodness, looking up many scriptures today that speak of his goodness, learning more about our Savior. Hopefully, it will deepen our appreciation and our love for him. I'd much rather focus on God's word than mine. Man's word is subject to error, subject to change depending on situation. But God's word is good and perfect, as he is good and perfect. It's forever settled in heaven. If you still have James 1:17, read that again and we'll do the second part of it. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. It's forever settled in heaven. We read Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Today we can be thankful for that. Turn to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, go down to verse 7. Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those that ask him? Good things to those that ask him. Now turn to Matthew 19. And this is actually the scripture that prompted this message as I thought about the Lord's goodness. Matthew 19, go down to verse 16. Matthew 19, verse 16 and 17. Talks about, of course, the account of the rich young ruler speaking with the Lord. Verse 16, now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he, speaking of the Lord Jesus, he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but the one that is God. Hear the Lord Jesus Christ as he always did. And we'll look at many examples of his goodness. He pointed people to God, God's glory, his Father's glory. And that's where the true goodness comes from. I'm sure the rich young ruler thought he was paying the Lord a compliment, but he was thinking of an earthly teacher. The Lord Jesus Christ was directing him as he's directing us to look to that heavenly teacher, the one that truly is good. Good also means good and benevolent, which means charitable, profitable, useful, a good for the benefit of others. We could think of 2 Corinthians 5:21 that says, for he, speaking of God, made him, speaking of Christ, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made or become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ, the only truly good man who ever lived. And why is this? He was fully man. Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, speaking of his humanity. 1 Timothy 2:5 says this, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. He was fully man, but he was fully God. Isaiah 9:6 again, for unto us a son is given, speaks of his deity. And Philippians 2:5 through 6 says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it to be robbery to be equal with God. The one who was fully God. Let's consider this one who was, who is, and will always be sinless, will always be good. First, he was a good son. A good son both to his heavenly father and his earthly mother. Turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, go down to verse 39. Familiar account of the Lord in the garden, praying just before he would be arrested, faced so much horror. Matthew 26, verse 36. Starting with that. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, which are James and John, we'll read elsewhere. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this pass come from me. Let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And if we would keep reading, he prayed that prayer three times. Always the good and obedient son to to his Heavenly Father, seeking to give him glory, to direct others upward. He was also good to his earthly mother. Turn to John 19. John 19, verse 25 and 7 through 7. Of course, this is the account of the crucifixion. Verse 25, John 19 says this, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved," speaking of John, we believe he was the youngest. "When Jesus saw his mother and disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her to be his to his own home." He provided for his mother because he knew that she would be all alone in the world. The Lord Jesus Christ was a good son, but he was also a good teacher. Turn to Matthew 7, verse 28. Go down to verse 29, Matthew 7, verse 28, starting. "And it was so when Jesus had ended these sayings," this is the Sermon on the Mount, "that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Just think, the Word of God being taught by the Word of God. Of course, John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And as we already read in Matthew 19:16, he was called a good teacher, teaching that man needed then, and that man certainly needs today through his Word. He was a good son, he was a good teacher, but he's also a good provider. We've already mentioned the provision for his mother in her time of need. He was a good provider for food, even wine on one occasion, his first miracle at Canaan at the wedding. But a good provider for food, for health, and most of all, salvation. And we've heard about that in our four brothers, how the Lord saved them through different situations. But think about food. Turn to John 6. Don't worry, I'll try to end on time so we won't have to wait too long for our food today. Here we see the Lord provides for 5,000. Think of that. Verse 6, starting at verse 1. "After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is in the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went on a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?' But this he said to test him, for he knew himself, what he would do. Then Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little.' One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, 'There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?' Then Jesus said, 'Make the people sit down.' Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in the number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, 'Gather up the fragments that remain so nothing is lost.'" Here we see the Lord Jesus Christ providing for a physical need in the midst of him providing for spiritual need of all those that were there that day. In Matthew 15, verse 32 through 38, we read another account where the Lord fed 4,000 plus women and children with 7 loaves and a few fish. Again, they had leftovers, food to spare. In both cases, the Lord Jesus supplied over and above what was needed. I was reminded of a favorite passage of Cecil I've heard so many times over the years. Ephesians 3:20 says this, "To him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." How true that is. But one more occasion of the Lord providing sustenance. Turn to John 21. And this is after his resurrection. One is called at breakfast by the sea. John 21, verse 1. "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, as called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, 'I'm going fishing.'" Go to verse 5. "Then Jesus said to them," a little later on, "'Children, have you any food?' And they answered him, 'No.' And he said to them, 'Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some.' So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it because of the multitude of fish." Go down to verse 9. After they brought in the catch, they were coming to land. Verse 9, "Then as they had come to the land, they saw a fire and coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish which you have just caught.'" And later on he would say, "Come and eat breakfast." But of course, there was already bread and fish on the fire before they brought their catch. The Lord miraculously provided for their need, as he does for ours. The Lord was a good provider for not only food, sustenance, but for health. The Lord healed so many, gave so many good health. Just a few we could think of as we think of his healing. Turn to John 5. Of course, this is speaking of the man that's healed by the pool of Bethesda. For sake of time, I'll go down to verse 6. "When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be made well?' The sick man answered him, 'Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me.' Jesus said to him, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk.' And immediately the man was made well. He took up his bed and walked." A good provider of health. Turn to Matthew 15, one more example. Matthew 15, go down to verse 29. "Jesus departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, and went up on the mountain and sat down there. Then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitudes marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. and they've glorified the God of Israel. Once again, everything the Lord did when he provided it was to give God the glory. As an obedient son to direct them above. Great physician. The Lord Jesus Christ was also a good citizen. Turn to Matthew 17. Go down to verse 24. When they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" And he said, "Yes." And when they had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers?" Peter said to him, "From strangers." Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first, and when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you." Here the Lord Jesus Christ paid the temple tax. Once again, a miracle showing God's power and provision in all situations. We should be good citizens as well. Pay our taxes. Obey the laws of the land. Of course, we're to obey the laws unless they go against God's word. At this point, thankfully, we haven't had to make that decision, but one day we might. May God give us the grace to do that when the time comes. But the Lord Jesus Christ, for all this that I've just said, a good son, a good provider for food and sustenance when needed, healing, a good citizen. Most of all, he provided for our greatest need, salvation. Turn to John 10. John 10, verse 11 says this, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." I was thankful to hear my four brothers and how the Lord worked in each of their lives. And they were saved. They put their faith and trust in the one who to know is to know life eternal. And their lives were changed and used, seeking to be more like the Lord, which we all should be. The Lord Jesus Christ was willing to redeem his fallen creation. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, "The Lord is not slack in turning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Luke 19:10 says this, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." I was thinking that if Christ was only willing to save us, that would not have been enough. He was not only willing, but he was able to save us. Hebrews 7:25 says this, "Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." The Lord Jesus Christ was able to save us because of his goodness. He is good because he's sinless. Hebrews 7:26, the next verse says, "For such a high priest was fitting to us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners." And 1 John 3:5 says, "In him there is no sin." We could think of that time when our Savior, the one who was sinless, went through the worst that man could offer as he offered himself as our sacrifice for sin. Turn to Luke 23. Luke 23, the first four verses. "Then the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, 'We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying he himself is Christ, a king.' Then Pilate asks him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "It is as you say." Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no fault in this man. I find no fault in this man." Turn down, look down to verse 13. Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and rulers and the people, said to them, "You had brought me this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those of which you accused him. Neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him. And indeed, nothing deserving of death has been done by him." Here we read that Pilate and Herod both found no fault in the Lord. And then look down to verse 20. Then Pilate, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them. But they shouted, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Then he said to them the third time, "Why, what evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him." Three times Pilate confirmed our Lord's goodness, found no fault in him. Even the one who betrayed him recognized his sinless nature. Judas said, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." We read of that in Matthew 27:4. And even after his death on the cross, back in Luke 23, if you're still there, look down to verse 47. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man," or good man. Again, everything the Lord did gave glory to his Father. We have just read the testimony of several men, several who were with the Lord and observed him. All found no fault in him, found only goodness. Pilate, Herod, Judas, the centurion. We could say that all were the Lord's enemies, and yet they proclaimed his goodness. Aren't you thankful that the one who knew no sin became sin for us? We read that scripture earlier, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Lord Jesus Christ is the very best example for us of a good man, the only good man who ever lived. He was always the obedient son, a good teacher, an encourager for his followers, a wonderful provider, a good and perfect Savior. Paul said, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." May we seek to be like Christ in all that we do. Romans 13:14, Paul writes this, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ." And in Philippians 2:5, Paul writes again, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." May we seek every day to think as he thought, thoughts of love, service, humility, obedience, always goodness. When our Lord instituted the Lord's Supper, he washed the disciples' feet. This speaks of humility, service, and obedience. Turn to John 13. John 13, verse 12. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." And our brother reminded us last week, be doers of the word, not just hearers. In John 13:17 again, we read this, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." The Lord tells us that if we do the things we have learned from him, you could say learned by his word, by his example, will be blessed, will be happy. Again, in this portion, we see the Lord as a good teacher. Christ was teaching his disciples and us how we should live. What a good teacher we have. So what's God's desire for us once we've been saved? Again, we've heard four brothers, how the Lord's used them over the years since their salvation. And they're still growing. We're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, aren't we? Well, I believe God wants us to live as his son lived, to strive for that, follow his example, follow his word, seek to be more like him day by day. And the good news is that one day, perhaps soon, we will be like the only good man who ever lived. Turn to Philippians 1:6 as we close. Two scriptures, well, two that encouragement, and the third one will be a challenge as we think about what lies ahead. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. God never leaves anything undone. Creation was called good, and after everything was done, and man and woman was created, it was very good. He'll complete everything. He'll complete us one day. Turn to 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we shall know when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Yes, one day we will be with him, but we'll be like him. It's hard to take in. But also a challenge in the next verse John 3:3. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Again, we're challenged to live lives acceptable to the Lord, seeking things above, not things below, seeking to be more like our Lord. Until he calls us home, may we all seek to learn more about our Lord every day, being more like our good God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these moments we've had to consider your Son, to learn more of him. This one who always went about doing good. Lord, he met many needs, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, material. But Lord, every need was met with a deeper purpose, to draw those to think on things above, to give you glory. Lord, we just pray you'll continue to be with us and guide us, use us for good. Help us to focus on your word. Help us to allow your spirit to guide us to all good things. Lord, we will fail because we're still sinners saved by your grace, but we look forward to that time when we will be removed from this sinful world in the presence of the Lord, not only with him, but your word tells us, like him. Lord, until that time, continue to guide us and direct us, encourage us, and again, we thank you for your love and your goodness and grace. We thank you now that we can gather around this meal and pray, Lord, it will sustain us. Thank you for those who have prepared it, and again, for your provision. Bless our time of fellowship, and again, we thank you for this day you've given us to gather to remember that one who loved us and gave himself for us, our good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen.